sad. Not only is it kind of gloomy outside, but also today is the last message from our series, The Counselor. Yeah, you guys upset as well? No? A little bit? A little bit. Well, the good news is, although the bad news is today's the last day, but the good news is next week we start a new series called Unafraid. And so that should be exciting. I'm excited to start that next week. But before we do that, we obviously have to finish up on The Counselor. And so, you know, we've been talking about questions that Jesus asks. And I don't think that Jesus ever wasted his breath or he ever wasted a question. And so we've been kind of going through some different questions, and we've been looking at the context of the question, and we've been trying to delve a little bit deeper into what these questions mean for us today. Amen? Because even though they were asked a couple thousand years ago, Jesus is the same. And his power is still the same, and his truth is still the same today, because we believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? No one comes to the Father except through him. So when we study him, we can see the truth through the things that he said. And so today, again, this is the last installment of our series, but we're going to be reading from John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. I'm going to throw you guys a little bit of a curveball today. Today I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Version of the Bible, John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. You can follow along in your Bibles. You can follow along up on the screen. You can follow along in the Bible in front of you in the pew. You can follow along. You can download. There's a cool app on your phone you can download called YouVersion, which you can follow along there as well. So it says this, again, I'm reading from the CSB version today, John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. It says, the next day. Can you look to your neighbor and say, the next day? That's right, the next day. John was standing with two of his disciples. And this is John the Baptist, by the way. This isn't John, the author of the book. John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. That's pretty powerful right there, isn't it? Look, the Lamb of God. You know, back in the Old Testament, what they used to do is if someone had sinned, they would take a spotless lamb, they'd take it to the temple, they'd take it to the priest, and they'd put their hands out, and the priest would transfer the sin from the person to the lamb, and then they would sacrifice the lamb. And so here John the Baptist is prophetically speaking of Jesus being the Lamb of God. He said, look, here is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. Amen? So the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them, he asked them, what are you looking for? That's the question we're going to be looking at today. What are you looking for? Can you look to your neighbor and say, what are you looking for? All right, now poke him in the eye and say, walk by faith, not by sight, okay? Just kidding. What are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, which means master, where are you staying? Come and see, he said. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 PM. I'm going to read that passage one more time. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he said to them, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? They said to him, where are you staying? Rabbi, where are you staying? Come and you'll see, he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 PM. God, again, I just thank you that we have this opportunity to just be here in your presence, God, and I just pray that you'll make this scripture come alive for us this morning, Father. I just pray that it'll open our eyes. God, I pray that it'll burn within us. God, I pray that it will convict us. I pray that it'll move us, God. I pray that it'll change us, God. We know in your word it says that it is living and active. It's powerful, more powerful than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. God, we thank you that your word is like a mighty hammer that bashes the rocks to pieces, God. And we are just praying right now for your word to speak to us this morning, God. I'm just praying for it to be powerful. I'm just praying for it to be effective, God. I just pray that our eyes will be opened to what you have for us this morning in your holy name. And everyone said, amen. What are you looking for? Have you ever thought that question through? What are you looking for? Has anyone ever lost anything before? Oh, yeah. I am notorious for losing my keys. In fact, a couple months ago, I lost my keys, and I had one of the keys that has the chip in it. You know what I'm talking about? So I had to go down and have a new one made, and it cost me $100 for a new key. Can you believe that? $100 for a new key. And then as soon as I got the new key, then I found my old key. Isn't that always the way it works? What are you looking for? I remember one time in college, there was an Arby's that was by campus, and I was excited, and I went to Arby's, and I jumped out of the car and ran out, and I realized, where are my keys? I locked my keys in the car. What are you looking for? I ran inside, and there was a lady working there, and I'm like, hey, this is before cell phones. And I was like, can I use your phone? She said, sure. I called my parents. They came out. They couldn't open it up. I had to pay $50 to have someone open up my car. Can you believe that? What are you looking for? And then a couple weeks later, I was at school again. I jumped out, went to Arby's again, shut the door, ran inside, and guess what? I locked my keys in the car again. I walked in, and I saw the lady there, and she's like, let me guess, you locked your keys in your car. I'm like, yes. It was the same lady that paid another $50. What are you looking for? A couple weeks ago, I lost my wallet. That was fun. That was not fun. That was terrible, replacing all those things. I had a couple gift cards in there that I can never get back. Oh, man, what are you looking for? You know, I checked out Google, and it was kind of interesting. You know what the most popular things that were searched for in 2018 so far are? People searched the most. Aretha Franklin, the Madden shooting, and hurricanes. What are you looking for? You know, when you think about this question, it's really kind of a life question. Like, what are you looking for? Steve Jobs said this. He said, being the richest man in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. But going to bed at night saying, I've done something wonderful, that's what matters. What are you looking for? I think everyone is looking for something. But do you know what you're looking for? I think we're all wired that way, right? We look for and we pursue things that we think will satisfy you. You know, I think if I look around this room, I can look at different people, and maybe you're looking for different things. You might be motivated or satisfied by different things. I've met certain people that are motivated by the mighty dollar. Amen? I mean, it motivates them. If they can earn more money, if they can buy the next great thing, if they can get the new car, if they can get a new house, like that is what, that's like what motivates, like that is what they're looking for. I work at a bank, and I met a lady once who was crying in my office because she said she had too much money. So what are you looking for? Some people, maybe they're not looking for money. I was like, are you serious? She's like, I just don't know what to do with all this money. I was like, are you serious? Like, what are you looking for? For some of you, yeah, give it to the church. I'm like, I notice you don't have a beneficiary on your account, Mr. Customer. Just kidding. What are you looking for? For some of you, it might be the dollar. For some of you, it might be a good relationship. Like, if only I had, like, money doesn't matter to me, but if only I had a good relationship. If only the Lord were to bring me that Disney princess. If only the Lord were to bring me that Disney prince. Everything would be perfect. Like, what are you looking for? You know, maybe for you, I think this was a big thing for me when I was younger because I was homeschooled. What I was looking for is I was looking to be accepted. I wanted to be popular. I did not want to stand out in a crowd. For me, that was the only thing that I cared about, to be accepted. Like, what are you looking for? Maybe you want to be famous. Maybe you just want to be the best at what you do. You want to be the best at your job. You want to be the best at work. You love competition. Like, for you, you're looking to be the best. Maybe that's what you're looking for today. Or maybe you're just looking to have fun. You just want to go out and you want to buy a jet ski. Amen. You want to buy a new boat. Amen. You want to buy a four-wheel. Like, for you, you're looking to have fun. Like, what are you looking for today? Everyone, I believe, is looking for something. And there's a deep desire built in each of us for something more. You realize that? There's a deep desire in each of us for something more. Because inevitably, if you have the money and then you keep on making more money and you keep on making more money, it's It's like an unquenchable thirst. Maybe you're someone that loves to go out and you feel like you're fulfilled in a relationship, and that's what you need, 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 but it's like an unquenchable thirst. You know what I'm talking about today, church? Am I preaching to myself? There's a deep desire for something more. Like, what are you looking for? It's interesting because when we look at this passage, it's a story of a couple of disciples of John the Baptist. Andrew, and who most scholars believe was John. These two had been following John they had been following John the Baptist for quite some time, and you know it's interesting that John the Baptist wasn't an ordinary guy. Do you know that? In fact, I think he would have been someone entertaining to follow. In fact, he was prophesied about in the book of Isaiah and the book of Malachi, saying that, hey, there's going to be someone who's going to come and prepare the way for you. I think he would have been an entertaining guy to follow. In fact, even before he was born, if you look at Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, when an angel of the Lord appeared to his father, this is what he said about John the Baptist. Look at this. He said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth." This is speaking of John the Baptist. So a lot of people are going to be excited. They're going to rejoice when he's born. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he is still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." So look at this interesting definition of John the Baptist. And there's really only a few verses that speak of him, but it says he's going to be great. He's never going to drink wine or beer, okay? He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Can you imagine that? Even from birth, even while he's in his mother's womb, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be amazing? "He will turn many of the children of Israel to their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That sounds like a pretty entertaining guy to follow. On top of that, if you look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus is speaking of John the Baptist. And this is what he says of John the Baptist. He says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, no one is greater than John the Baptist has appeared." Isn't that interesting? So not only is he going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not only people are going to rejoice, not only are people going to be turning back to the Lord because of him, not only is he going to have the spirit and power of Elijah on his life, but also there is no one greater born of women than John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3, it says that he wore camel's hair, he had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. I'd be entertained just by that, wouldn't you? Can you imagine walking around in the field and you see some locusts and you put it in your pocket? Someone's like, "What are you doing?" I'm saving this for John the Baptist. Oh, man. I think he would have been an entertaining guy to watch and an entertaining guy to follow. Someone that was filled with the Holy Spirit. Someone that had power. Someone that had an anointing on his life. In fact, if you read earlier in John chapter 1, you see that people came to him and they thought that he was the Messiah. I mean, that's what type of power he had on his life. That's what type of anointing that he had on his life. They said, are you a prophet? You're not? Okay, are you Elijah? Are you Elijah? And for them, that was a big deal because Elijah, if you can remember, he was a powerful prophet in the Old Testament where he took down the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and called down the fire from heaven. Like, are you Elijah? No, wait. Are you the Messiah? Like, he was someone who had power and someone who had authority and someone that had influence among the people. In fact, in Scripture, it says that all of Judea and all of Samaria came out to see him. I think it would have been pretty entertaining to follow John the Baptist, a guy wearing camel's hair and a belt and eating locusts and wild honey. That would have been pretty entertaining. But John says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And then they begin to follow him and look. He says, "What are you looking for?" And look at their response there. They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Rabbi, where are you staying?" Rabbi, where are you staying? Teacher, where are you staying? You know, we think of a student and a teacher nowadays, and we think of someone that goes to class, and you might have your teacher for 5 or 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, maybe quite enough of your teacher. But back then, if you were a rabbi and if you had a student, it was a continual daily relational experience that you had with your rabbi. You would eat where your rabbi ate. You would sleep where they slept. You'd live with the rabbi. You would listen to all their teachings. You would walk where the rabbi walked. In fact, I heard this, there's this saying that they would often say about rabbis with their students. They said, good students are covered with the dust of their teacher's feet. Like they were that close behind them. They just follow them wherever they go. I think it's interesting that they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Teacher, Master, Lord, where are you staying? What I see there is that they weren't satisfied just hearing what John had to say about him. They weren't satisfied just going to take a glance from a distance. They weren't satisfied by just passing by him. They weren't satisfied by just stopping and listening for a moment. They weren't satisfied just following him for a little while. But like John the Baptist had been speaking of Jesus, and when they finally saw him, again, they weren't satisfied just looking. But I believe that they wanted to experience Jesus firsthand. They wanted to be in his presence. They wanted to be in his house. They wanted to eat with him. They wanted to break bread with him. They wanted to listen to his voice. They wanted to take in his thoughts. They wanted to hear from his heart. They wanted to understand his mission. Like they wanted to be with him. For me, it's hard to believe that there are people that have never heard the name of Jesus. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? But it's also hard for me to believe that there are people that have only smelled his fragrance from a distance. That have only smelled his fragrance from a distance. I guess my question is, if you're looking for something, are you someone that has pursued Jesus intimately, or are you someone that has just smelled him from a distance? Are you someone that has just seen him passing by? You know what I'm talking about? Rabbi, where are you staying? Rabbi, where are you staying? Master, Lord, teacher, where are you staying? You know, I think it's interesting sometimes when I talk to people and that they say that they think Christianity is merely just a prayer that you pray. You know, all I have to do is say this prayer, follow the ABCs, and I'm good to go. Because I think when I look at Scripture, I think that being a follower of Jesus is so much more than just a prayer. It's so much more than just acknowledging him. It's so much more than just talking about him. It's so much more than just knowing who he is. Like, being a Christian is pursuing him and going into his presence, right? In fact, there's another passage of Scripture where Jesus was talking to his disciples. Speaking of his death, he's speaking of the things that are about to happen to him. And it's found in Matthew chapter 16. Look at this. He says this. He says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. Like there's an act of, like, when we become a follower of Jesus, there's an act of us pursuing him. Do you agree with me, church? It's more than just a prayer. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world let yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? You know, I think it's interesting that we, I think often what we try to do is we try to narrow down our Christianity to just the least common denominator. Like, as long as you say the prayer, you're good to go. But I think if I look at Scripture and if I study Scripture and if I go and I read it, I can see that it's a daily walk, a daily pursuit of Jesus. Rabbi, where are you staying? Rabbi, where are you staying? And I could be wrong. I mean, I'm going to run this up the flagpole, but another thing that I see when I study John the Baptist, he's only mentioned a couple times in Scripture, but another thing that I see is that it seemed like Jesus was often questioning their hearts when his disciples were coming around, John the Baptist's disciples were coming around. You look here and he says, what are you looking for? You look at another passage, I think it's found in Matthew chapter 6, where his disciples come again and John the Baptist was in prison and getting ready to be beheaded. And he looks at his disciples again and he says, go back and report to John what you see and you hear. Tell them that the blind see, the dead are raised, the lame walk, and the good news is preached to the poor. And then his disciples leave and then he looks to the crowd and he said, what did you go out into the desert to see? Did you go out there to see a reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? Did you go out there to see a man dressed in fine clothes? Like, what did you go out to see? Like, what are you looking for? You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we come and we look for certain things. Maybe we look for a show. Okay, we see a guy running around with a beard and wearing camel hair and a leather belt around his waist and eating honey and locusts. I mean, it'd be kind of exciting just to go out and see him, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd go out there and just watch him eat the locusts. That'd be entertaining. But he's talking to his disciples. He's like, what are you looking for? Like, are you looking for an entertainment? Are you looking for a show? Are you looking for a reed swayed by the wind? Are you looking for a man dressed in fine clothes? Are you looking for a prophet? Like, what are you looking for when you go out to the desert? I think what Jesus was doing is he was pushing at their heart, and he was really trying to set a precedence, a difference between someone who is in the crowd and someone who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Someone who's in the crowd and someone who is merely a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my question for you today is, maybe we're not satisfied, maybe we're coming and maybe we're looking for something. Is it because we are in the crowd or is it because we are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And look at Jesus' response. He says this. He says, come and you'll see. Come and you'll see. He doesn't ask them for any qualifiers. He doesn't ask them to dress or to act a certain way. He didn't tell them to memorize some more of the Torah. He didn't ask them to fetch him a chariot. He didn't ask them for more money. He just said, what are you looking for? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said, come and you'll see. Come and you'll see. You know, I think here at Taylor Christian, we invite people to come and see. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus Christ to come and see. Do you agree with me? People can come just as they are. We try to make our service applicable for people to come. Come and see. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to memorize the Bible before you come and see. You don't have to ride a chariot before you come and see. You don't have to, we're not going to ask you for money to come and see. And I believe that Jesus' invitation is still open for us today to come and see. There are no qualifiers. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to talk a certain way. You don't have to smell a certain way, even though we appreciate if you bathe, right? To come and see. And as the worship team comes back up, I just want to give you some encouragement that there is nothing. There is nothing, and then there is no thing. The two words, there is nothing, and there is no thing in your life that can satisfy you except Jesus Christ. We invite you to come and see his grace. We invite you to come and see his truth. We invite you to come and see his love. There is nothing, there is no thing in life that can satisfy you except Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you have been someone that has been looking for something. You have been looking for acceptance. Maybe you have been looking for satisfaction in money. Maybe you have been looking for satisfaction in a show. Maybe you have been looking for satisfaction in a relationship. Maybe you've been looking for satisfaction in just being the best that you can be, and you just know that you have not been satisfied. And I want to give you encouragement today that if you pursue God, if you say, God, you are my master, you are my Lord, you are my redeemer, God, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to pursue you. I'm not going to just hear about you, I'm not just going to, you know, talk about you, but God, I'm going to pursue you, I'm going to pursue a relationship, I want to be your disciple, I want to be your follower, I want to take it serious. I believe that's where we can find satisfaction this morning, church. In Psalms 107, verse 9, it says this. It says, For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. In John chapter 15, it says this, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. God, I just thank you again that we have this time to be here in your presence this morning, Father. And I just pray right now, maybe there are people who are here that are looking for something. God, I just pray that you'll speak to them. I pray that you'll minister to them. God, I just pray that they will not look for satisfaction anywhere else except in you, because, God, we know that only you can satisfy. Only you can bring joy. Only you can bring peace. Only you can bring hope. Only you can bring satisfaction, God. Only you can feed our hungry souls, God. Maybe there are people here that have been feeling as if they're missing something. God, I just pray that they will find comfort in your embrace, God. I pray that they will pursue you beyond just the talk, God, but that they will pursue you in their walk. Father, we give you the glory, we give you the praise. And as we sing this song,